So when I was growing up and my extended family would gather together, there was always one person that I tried not to get cornered by, because I knew that if I did, I would spend the rest of my day talking to that person and there was no escape from the conversation. Before you judge me, I know that I'm not the only one that goes into a family reunion with my head on a swivel, right? Well, we're always looking out because we know the conversations that are coming. And listen, don't get me wrong, but I just know that even as a kid, like at 11 or 12 years old, that if I entered into the conversation, I was going to hear the same stories that I'd heard the day before, and the day before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, right? It's the same thing over and over and over again, and that's fine, but think about what happens when you hear the same story over and over again, right? You sort of get dull to it, right? Your senses sort of wear down, your mind doesn't engage with it anymore, you're not thinking about the conversation, you're daydreaming, maybe even thinking that you we're somewhere else. And listen, we've all been there, right? We've all been in conversations like that. And here's the thing. As we gather together the month of December leading up to Christmas, as we've prayed about our services, that is the last thing that we want to happen in here, right? I want our hearts and I want our minds to capture the miracle of Christmas, right? The wonder of Christmas, the Christmas story, like we're experiencing it for the first time. It's easy to get caught up in a Christmas rut. You put the same decorations out year after year, right? You have the same schedule with your family year after year. You might eat the same meal year after year, right? You watch the same Hallmark movies with the same plot year after year after year, right? And what happens? You sort of get into a rut, right? We've all been there. And for many of us, that combined with the busyness of the season and all of the obligations that we might submit ourselves to, it's taken away that this sense of awe and this sense of wonder and this sense of just joy about the miraculous story that we're reading when we open up our Bible. So if you've got a Bible this morning, open up to Luke chapter 2, where we're going to dive into the Christmas story. And as you do, I want to ask you something. Right? I want to ask you to try to look at the Christmas story this year. Every time we read it, every time we think about it, sort of like the way the kid would look into a snow globe like this. Listen, as an adult, I walk right past this on the shelf. I walk right past this in the store. I don't give it a second thought. I don't really spend much time with it, but little kids are different. Man, that they take this and they show it up or shake it up and they get the snow really moving in there and they look, and as they look at it with this sense of wonder, this sense of awe, this sense of amazement, like I can't believe what's going on in there, that their eyes light up, that their faces brighten, that there's this emotion in their voice as they look at what's going on in the scene. They imagine themselves in the midst of that scene. They think about what's going on and they place themselves there. At the end of the day, listen, they experience it, right? They live it out as they stare into it. And my prayer for us is that we would enter into the Christmas season this year with that same sense of wonder. I mean, if you look at the people in there, if you think about the people in the Christmas story, I mean, just think about the miracle that it is and think about what God did. Well, when he stepped in among real people, right? Think about Joseph, right? Guys, put yourself in his position. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, you've got Joseph. And he's there, and he's engaged to Mary, and all of a sudden, before they've come together as husband and wife, he realizes that Mary's with child, right? And so think about his emotions in the midst of this. He wasn't anticipating this. He wasn't thinking about this. He's devastated, right? He feels betrayed. He doesn't know what's happened to his family. The future that he thought he had in his mind is completely gone. And while he's thinking about an honorable and quiet way to sort of part their union, that Joseph, right, who's completely taken off guard already, has an encounter with an angel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says that an angel appears to him in the state of betrayal, in the state of bewilderment, and says, hey, listen, Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she's going to bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, because your son, Mary's son, that you weren't expecting and have no idea how this happened, this Jesus is going to save his people from their sins. Right? He's gone from this state of betrayal to this state of bewilderment, right? God stepped in his life in a powerful way. When we read the Christmas story, you got to think about how that happened to these ordinary people. Ladies, take Mary, right? Mary's minding her own business. And Luke chapter 1, and the Bible says that Gabriel, the angel, shows up to Mary, and she's taken back. She is completely caught off guard. She doesn't know what kind of encounter this is going to be with an angel. Is this good news, bad news? Good thing, bad thing? Joyful thing? Or am I about to be sort of destroyed here? And the angel says, hey, listen, peace be with you. You have found favor before God. God is with you. In fact, Luke chapter 1, verse 30, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Listen to what the angel tells Mary, who didn't know she was pregnant, didn't know that she could even be pregnant. The angel tells her, hey, listen, your son's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High God. He's going to be called the Lord God. He's going to have the throne of his father, David. He's going to get the throne of David. David, the one that killed Goliath. David, the king that ruled over Israel like a man after God's own heart. Her son, and she didn't know she was pregnant. Her son is going to be the one that rules in the house of David forever, right? It says that in Luke chapter 1, verse 33. And she just pushes back and she says, how? How in the world is this going to happen, that there's no way that I could have a baby? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of God will overshadow you, and the child that's going to be born will be holy. The child is going to be the Son of God. Listen, this took her off guard. She did not have a willow tree nativity set that she set up year after year, right? She was not familiar with this story, right? This story is being written. And she's the one that's dropped right into the middle of it, right? But put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the scripture, in the text, and think about the miracle that this story is. Think about what God has done here, right? Let's walk through it, the birth of Jesus, like we're reading it and understanding it and hearing it for the very first time, with this sense of awe and wonder about the miracle of God. Look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read the Christmas story together, right? Just put your mind right here in the text, and let's let God speak to us this morning. Luke 2 verse 1 says this: in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the line of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. No place for the Son of God in the inn. He's laid in the feeding trough for animals. Verse 8, and in the same region, so not too far away, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds also said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord God has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. When they saw it, they said, hey, we knew about this because the angels told us this had happened. Verse 18 says, and all who heard them wondered at what the shepherd said. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Let's do that this Christmas. Let's ponder the things of God, the story of God in our heart. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and all they had heard. Right? An amazing night. right? A night that shaped and changed the history of the world from that very point forward, right? Everything that's going on today, all the Christmas day, man, it starts right here. And as we look at the Christmas story, we're going to look at it these next few weeks. And my prayer, my hope is that we would enter into this season, that we would enter into the Word of God with this sense of wonder. And we're going to do that as we zero in on the angel's announcement. Look back at verse 10. If you take notes in your Bible, if you underline, if you highlight, just underline that verse. We're going to stick in that verse for the next couple of weeks, because you'll see and there, you'll notice there's three things that the angel shares with the shepherds there. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. That's number one. Of great joy. That's number two. That will be for all the people. That's number three. And we're going to nail those. And we just need to understand this was no ordinary announcement, right? And in fact, this was way out of the ordinary for anybody, but especially for those shepherds to hear, right? For them to get a message from God. And honestly, for anyone to get a message from angels from God like that. I've never had an angel appear and talk with me. Have you? Okay, didn't think so, right? It's a very, very rare thing, right? In fact, if you read your Bible, you'll see about 300 occurrences of angels appearing to people like that, or angels appearing just in general in the Bible, and actually having a conversation with people. It goes way, way, way down from that 300 number to about 25, right? About 25 people in Scripture have an encounter with an angel like that. Four are in the Christmas story. We talked about Mary already. We talked about Joseph already. Zechariah the priest had an encounter with angels in the Christmas story. Then now, the shepherds have this encounter with the angel. And so it's a rare thing. It's a scary thing. And so the first words out of the angel's mouth are, fear not, right? Fear not. He looks at these shepherds. He sees their faces. He sees their reaction. He says, you guys got to calm down, right? You guys got to take it down a notch. This is going to be a good thing. We're going to have a good encounter here. I'm about to give you the message that's going to change the history of the world. I'm about to tell you that God is breaking through, that God is stepping in, that God is making all things new, that God is delivering this good news. You guys need to calm down, fear not, so you can capture it and listen to it. Listen to the message again. Verse 10, the angel said, I bring you good news, right? We're going to zero in on that phrase this morning. Good news. If you're taking notes, just write that at the top of your page. Good news. We're going to unpack that. The angel did not say, I bring you good advice, right? Good advice was last night when I'm coaching a baseball game. I'm telling my kids to get their foot moving early and get the bat out in front so they can hit the ball. That's good advice. The angel didn't say, fear not, for I bring you good information, right? Good information is you put the Waze app on your phone and you get where you need to get, right? That's good information. The angel didn't say that. The angel said, I'm bringing you good news, right? That's a different message altogether. We love good news, right? Good news does something in our hearts. It doesn't matter how little it is or how big it is. We've got extra chocolate cake out there. Man, that's good news, right? I want that chocolate cake, right? The kids and the grandkids are going to be at your house on Christmas morning, and you're going to celebrate Christmas as a family this year when a lot maybe didn't get to last year. That's good news, right? That makes our heart jump and leap for joy. A doctor coming into the room and saying, hey, listen, your cancer's gone. Or the surgery we just performed on your loved one was successful. Everything's going to be okay. Man, that is good news, and we're all about that, right? We love getting good news. We love the stories that are positive, that are encouraging, that have a good ending. But today, when you turn on the TV and you watch the news, are you getting much good news? Not really, right? It seems like all we're getting is bad news. We're hearing about COVID or Omicron. We're hearing about inflation or division and on and on and on. And let me just say that some people in here probably need to turn the news off and maybe disengage emotionally a little bit from it, because bad news over and over again, it beats us down. It's discouraging. And that's why when we hear good news, we cling to it. That's why when the angel said, I've got good news for you, something jumped in the heart of these men, of these shepherds that were out in the field, and they wanted to be a part of the good news. Listen, we all do. I've started following a channel on social media simply because it makes me encouraged. It makes me feel good. It's a social media channel that's devoted to good news, right? They just tell stories over and over about the good things that are happening. I think that Chelsea turned me on to it. It's great. Look at the screen. There's this guy named Don Ritchie. He's an Australian guy, and he's lived on the corner of this cliff for years in Australia. And Don, he's saved 160 people's lives in his time living in that house. As he saw people that were desperate at the edge of the cliff that maybe were about to make a poor decision with their lives, Don would go out. And like a good Australian man, he would say, "I've got some tea. Do you want to come into my house and have a chat?" And so many of them did, got their mind right, their heart right, back on track, right? That's good news, right? That this guy saved 160 people. There's another guy named Zach, right? And he's a guy that fled the violence in Afghanistan when he's 9 years old. He comes to America. He becomes a citizen. He's got a family. He's got a wife. He's got kids. He's a pilot now for United. And when the government said, "Hey, we need help flying these people in harm's way out of Afghanistan," he stepped up and said, "I'll go." Hardly any pilots were willing to go. Zach was willing to go. You want to know why? Because he'd been there before. He knew what it was like. He knew what these people were running from. He wanted to be there to greet these people in their own language, to love them and to encourage them as they stepped onto a plane heading towards safety. Listen, millions of people follow this account on social media. Why? We love good news. I want you to think about why. Well, what is it about good news that's so appealing? What is it that draws our attention to the good and to the positive things that we see or experience in this world? I think the answer is hope, right? Good news gives us this sense of hope. Good news points us towards something that's greater. In the Christmas story, those shepherds are out in the field, the silence is broken, the darkness is broken, and the angels delivered this good news. The angels delivered a message of hope that night. The angels told the shepherds, "Hey, that thing that you've been waiting for, that God had promised a long time ago, and that's finally here." Look at verse 11, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The good news is right there. Let's be very clear and very specific about what it is. It says this, here's the good news. "For unto you," who is you? It's the shepherds there. That's where the message is starting, right? Hey, you shepherds, you guys that don't get talked to by many people, you guys that are on the outside, you guys that aren't allowed in where a lot of other people are allowed, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That's the good news. The Savior of the world is born today. That's the good news. The long-awaited Christ, the Lord, was born today. Guys, that's the good news. Starting today, God has decided to step out of heaven and be among man, right? We call it the incarnation, where we've got Jesus, fully God and fully man. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, among man, and we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Wonder and awe. God became man, right? God took on flesh. God was found on earth here as a baby lying in a manger. Listen, this is hope. This is good news that God's promise has arrived. Listen, let's shake up that snow globe in your mind. Peek inside that, right? Just let your mind get lost in that thought. I sat in my office right over there early one morning this week, and I just got lost in that thought that Jesus was in heaven. Jesus was in the glory of heaven, right? The majesty of heaven, the perfection of heaven, and at just the right time. Right, Jesus was willing to step out of that and be born as a frail baby to a poor, displaced family that didn't have a place to stay. Jesus was willing to be laid in a manger, in a feeding trough, surrounded by animals, and then greeted at his birth, not by relatives and friends and family, greeted by smelly, stinky shepherds. Listen, this is no ordinary thing. Right, that this is no ordinary baby. This is God in flesh. Why did he come in flesh? It's hope. Let your mind get lost in the miracle of Christmas. Max Lucado says it like this: "The omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who was spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe decided to become an embryo. And he who sustains the world chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God is a fetus, holiness sleeping in the womb." The story of Christmas is hope. The story of Christmas is good news, and we need to understand that this news came at just the right time. Israel, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, they'd been waiting for this news for generations, right? Think about everything they would have known. They would have had access to the Scripture, right, to the Old Testament. They would have been able to lock in to read this, to know this, to understand this. They would have known that God had been promising something. They would have known that God was promising a Savior, that God was promising a Messiah. They've got it up on the screen behind me. Just think through this with me for a second. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, and in God's word, that they would have had access to that, that they knew that God had spoken to Abraham and that God had made this promise to Abraham, telling him, listen, from your descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, right? He's made this covenant saying they're going to be a part of my people. They're going to be my children. It's going to happen through you and through your descendants, right? That original covenant there with Abraham. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, when we read about the genealogy of Christ, we read Jesus, son of Abraham. It's God reminding us that he has fulfilled that promise that he made to Abraham. Flip forward in your Bible just a little bit to 2 Samuel, right? In 2 Samuel, God's talking to David, right? King David, the one whose throne the angel and Mary were talking about. And God tells David, hey, listen, I'm going to send someone through your line. He's going to sit on your throne and he's going to reign forever, right? In a kingdom that will not end. Again, that's why in Matthew chapter 1, when we read about the line of Jesus, we read that Jesus is the son of David. That's why when the angel talks to Mary, he says, hey, listen, this one that's going to be born is going to sit on the throne of David. God is fulfilling the promises that he's made to his people over the generations, and they would have known that, right? They would have locked in to that. What about Isaiah chapter 7, right, where God promises that he's sending someone, right? The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us, right? Mary just straight up says to the angel, I can't have a kid. But she can, right? Fulfilling the promises of God. Hadn't happened before, has not happened since. What about Micah chapter 5, right? God is telling his people all through these generations leading up to this moment, right? Micah chapter 5, we read that the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah is going to be born where? In Bethlehem, right? These were all written hundreds and thousands of years before this night, right? Before God stepped in, before Jesus was born as a baby. And those that are on the screen right now, those are just four out of hundreds of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled with his very birth, right? God spoke throughout the generations, pointing to and promising a Savior, promising a Messiah. And you get to this, and you get to the end of the Old Testament in your Bible. You know, separate old and new at the end of the Old Testament in your Bible, and then they don't hear anything. There's 400 years of silence up there where there is no good news, where there is no message of hope, where there is no point to or promise of the Messiah. And so the people of Israel, now they're waiting. They're wondering what's happening. They're wondering what's going on. In that time, they've been displaced. In that time, they've been back to Israel and back and forth, and they're just wondering what's going on. And now they're under the rule of the Romans, the most powerful empire on earth, and they haven't heard from God. They're wondering what's next. God, where are you? What is happening? And then the good news comes. Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 and 2, that they hear the voice of God again. And as God begins to speak, he sends them Jesus. Right on that silent night, the good news breaks through. It fulfills all of the promises of God, those four and hundreds others, bringing hope to the world. Listen, this Christmas, just let your mind get caught up in this sense of wonder. Right? Let your mind get caught up in all that God did to orchestrate this event for you, right? And for me, to step into a right relationship with the Father. Well, wonder with all that it entails. Look into it with the wonder, with the curiosity, with the excitement that a kid looks into that snow globe for the very first time. And here's the thing. I'm just telling you now that as you think about this good news, as you wonder, as you ponder it in your heart, you'll recapture the miracle, the wonder that Christmas truly is. Right, and with that in mind, listen, as we lean in to the good news, as we lean into the sense of awe and the sense of wonder this Christmas season, I want to give you a couple things to do just to walk out in your day-to-day life to get your mind and to get your heart living here, thinking about the glory of God this Christmas season. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do, just your application this morning, is this. It's an easy one to say, I get it. Maybe it's a little bit harder to do. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do in response to the good news is slow down. Slow down this Christmas season, right? Most of us are running really fast this time of year. There's a lot we have to do. There are a lot of obligations. There are a lot of lists. And I feel that. Well, a friend of ours actually started a few years ago. They leave town, right, from before Christmas until after New Year's. They don't want to deal with the obligations. They don't want to deal with the commitments. They don't want to deal with the craziness of family. They just leave town because they're so stressed out at Christmas time. And let me tell you, if that's you, man, that is not good, right? Slow down, right? Allow your mind and your heart to be still, right? Give yourself those moments to think about the fulfillment of God's promises, to think about the Savior, to think about the Messiah, to think about the hope that's Christmas, right? Give yourself time, carve it into your life to sit and to think in silence, right? And in peace and in quiet. If you got kids at home, wake up early, stay up late, find those moments. Let your mind dwell on it. And slowing down, it's going to look different for you than it is for the person next to you. It's going to look different for you than it might for me. But at the very least, it means this. All of us have to create some space in our lives, create some margin in our schedules against the busyness of Christmas. If we never slow down, if we're running from party to party, if we're checking off list after list after list, trying to make things perfect for everyone, we might miss the wonder that is Christmas, and that would be a shame, right? Because listen, when we slow down, we'll find that sense of wonder leads to worship, right? We can't help but wonder and think about the things of God without stepping into a time of worship of the goodness of God. So slow down, right? Read an Advent devotional, right? Look up John Piper's Dawning of Indescribable Joy, right? It's a great Advent devotional to read heading towards Christmas. Or just do what I'm doing this year. Read Matthew 1, read Luke chapter 2 every single day in December. And just let your mind get lost in that story. Soak up the scriptures. Soak up the goodness of God. Don't let Christmas season be a time of stress. Slow down and let it be a season of wonder that takes you to worship, right? That the angel said that there's good news. The second thing that I want you to do with that good news is simply this. I want you to share the good news, right? That the shepherds, what did they do? That they left and they shared the good news with anyone that would listen. They left in verse 20. It says, glorifying, praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Listen, some news, man, it's just too good to keep to yourself, right? It seems like every day I see on social media good news that people are excited, that they want to share with other people, engagements, babies, jobs, right? Things that our kids have done, our grandkids have done. Why do we share it? Because it's too good not to, right? We want people to know what's going on. Man, there's no way you were going to keep these shepherds quiet with what they experienced. If they ran into you, you were going to experience their good news. And I'm just telling you that if we'll slow down, if we'll let the Christmas story grab our hearts, the people that we run into, they're going to hear that good news as well. So be a blessing, right? Be a blessing. Invite people, bring them here on Christmas Eve, bake them some cookies, take them to their house, share the Christmas story with them, share that good news this Christmas. And then the last thing I'll ask you to do in response to the good news is simply this. It's another easy one. It's serve other people, right? Slow down, share the good news, and serve people. That's why Jesus came, right? He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? But to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's a passage in Philippians chapter 2. It's my favorite chapter, I think, in the entire Bible. And it talks about this act of selflessness. It talks about considering others before yourself. It talks about just being a selfless servant of others. And the example that Philippians 2 gives of that is Jesus. And it says, Jesus, who though he was God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And he humbled himself and was found in human likeness. He was born as a man. Why? To serve us, right? Jesus' birth at Christmas was to serve, to meet our greatest need, right? Listen to what D.A. Carson says. He said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would send a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But he says this, our greatest need was forgiveness. Your greatest need, out of all the needs that you've got in your life, or you could probably make a list, your greatest need is forgiveness of your sins. My greatest need is forgiveness of my sins. He says, but our greatest need was forgiveness. So what? So God sent a Savior. God sent His Son Jesus, born in a manger. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to take the punishment for my sin and yours. And the Bible says when we place our faith in Him and in what He did and Him alone, this good news becomes more than just news to us. This good news becomes our reality. Right? When we trust in Him, He makes us His children. So this Christmas, every time you see Christmas lights, every time you look at your nativity set, every time you buy a gift, every time you open a gift, every time you eat a Santa Claus sugar cookie, every time you have some hot chocolate, every time you put on that ugly Christmas sweater, and I know you got it, let your mind get lost in the wonder of Christmas. Let your mind just go back to the message of good news and the message of hope, right, that really gets this season kicked off in the first place. Right, think about all that God's done and let your heart and your mind respond in worship to Him. Would you pray with me? As you take a second to just bow your head, I just want to ask you to thank God for the good news of Jesus. Thank God that when He was born that night, that immediately God began letting people know what had happened. And thank Him now for good news. Thank Him now for the hope that good news is. Just thank Him for a minute. And as you're praying, thanking Him, let me just give you the first opportunity to slow down for a minute. All right, it's very possible that you've been running around. It's very possible this has been a busy week, maybe a busy season already. Just slow down now. Let your mind, let your heart dwell on the Christmas story. Let your mind, let your heart dwell on that stable, that cave where Mary and Joseph were. Think about how God stepped into their lives, how God stepped in and changed everything that they thought they were going after. Think about how God gave us hope by giving us Jesus. Think about how God orchestrated every moment of history to get us to that one night, that one perfect night, perfect timing in the history of all of creation to send the one that the Bible says will save us from our sins. This morning, be refreshed in that. Be reminded of that again and again and again. Let your heart be captured by that. And this morning, as your head's bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you're just letting yourself get lost, get caught up in this sense of wonder, listen, you might be here this morning, and this morning, maybe for you, it clicked for the very first time what Christmas is all about and why we're here. And why we make such a big fuss. I mean, we make that fuss because God sent the one that was going to come and save us from our sins. And this morning, if you'd say, you know what, I've never trusted in Jesus. I've never prayed and committed my heart to Him. I've never repented of my old way of life and believed in Him as my Lord and Savior. Listen, let me just encourage you. Man, let's get that nailed down today. Let's walk through the Christmas season as a child of God, as a son or daughter of the King. Let's respond to that message of hope. Don't hear the hope and walk away. Come see it and taste it for yourselves, just like those shepherds did. Man, they heard about the hope that was Jesus, and nothing was going to keep them away this morning. If you're hearing about the hope that's Jesus, we just encourage you. Come place your faith and your trust in Him. And then for those of us that know Jesus as we're getting caught up in the wonder, and be like that shepherd. Don't keep that to yourself, right? Share it with the world around you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship. My prayer is that that wonder of the Christmas story would lead us to a place of worship where we can stand and sing and worship together now the goodness of God. And as we stand, as we worship, as we sing, just know that we'll have a couple of people down here that would love to pray with you. If you want to pray just in agreement with someone, say, God, slow me down this Christmas season. Let my mind get caught up on you. We're here to pray with you. If you have never trusted in Jesus and you're ready to come and experience him, encounter him, and be like that shepherd and come on up here, and we'd love to pray with you about placing your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're walking through a difficult season this Christmas, if your heart's hurting, I know there's several, and you want someone to pray with you, we'll be here and we'd love to pray with you. Whatever's on your heart, we'll have the opportunity to pray about that right now. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your love for us. And God, we just pray right now that our hearts and our minds would get caught up in the wonder of Christmas. God, let us dwell. God, let us dwell on all that you've done and all that you are. God, let us understand and know that this good news that you shared that first Christmas night is a message of hope. God, we love you and we worship you now because of your goodness. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and worship with me? And if you're ready to pray, we'll have people here that would love to pray with you.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.